Into the 4 o'clock hour we go. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We have a Chris versus the fan coming your way here shortly. Looking forward to the Big Five. There's some good stuff. There's at least one good stuff in there I can't wait to talk about. A little later on in the show.
Quick score update.
I don't know the other topic, Scraby. Okay, I wasn't dogging your Big Five.
Having been a part of the Big Five every day for the last 4 or 5 years, probably fair of him to guess that there's only one really good topic today.
All right. How has Chris versus the fan been going, gentlemen?
He's been crushing it.
But the questions have been good. Scraby's been on point. And we've had some fun. And, you know, we've had our share of winners along the way.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens today. Chance for everybody to go to Las Vegas. We know that.
Yes, we do.
I don't know that Scraby put the... Yes, he did. Put it in my sheet. Very good.
Heck?
It wasn't in here the other day.
Qualified for a chance. You just couldn't find it.
Not true. Grand prize, 2-night stay, Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. 2 tickets to see Kool and the Gang, soon to be Hall of Famers. They're backed by popular demand, multiple sold-out shows. Kool and the Gang on stage at the Westgate. Their residency through the end of this year. You can get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of the legendary Vegas Fun. You also get a 4-pack of tickets to see the San Diego Mojo against the Columbus Fury. That's coming up on Sunday at Viejas Arena. Yes, thank you. Do you want to do your Mojo imitation, too?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know what that would be.
I know. You can grab tickets to that match now at provolleyball.com or win them right now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And before we get into that, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. Just ask Ben Higgins. He eats his own dog food, according to
his
commercial. He said he loves it too.
I think you're hearing it wrong.
You were the one who pointed it out.
I know, but the more I thought about it.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden it comes to the air. I can't believe sticking a fork in the can of the farmer's dog food and munching.
It's people food.
Yeah, well, apparently
it's just real food made for the health of dogs. Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio.
Ben, if you're out there, please set him straight and tell him that you do not eat your dog's food.
He said he loves it, too.
Sorry, Tony. He loves it for his dog.
Yes. I mean...
See how you couldn't...
I know. Yeah.
Glean that information.
I'm going to let you marinate on that one.
Yeah, I just figured it out. Thanks, guys.
Great.
All right.
But it's too late. You figured it out too late because you now put it into everybody's head that Ben Higgins eats dog food. And they won't be able to get it out of their head.
Please don't ask him during the show tomorrow if he eats dog food.
They will.
Rules. You have to make it through 3 questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And if you're a first-time player. Let us know before you get into it, and you'll get the first question for free today.
I was trying to update the score of the game, and so anybody who cared, 33-24 Pacers at the end of the first quarter. Yeah, go ahead.
he just vomited.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with that.
You okay, Tony?
Yeah, no, I just saw this new report that came out. It was by Andrew Marchand of The Athletic about MLB and some streaming stuff. We'll get into it after this. And I have so many questions. All right, let's get to our first contestant, Brandon. Welcome to the show. Happy Thursday to you. Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready.
There he is. And Brandon,
he said he's ready.
We're getting some. The chat has been saying we're ignoring the chat and Christopher's the fans. Brandon is an active part of the chat, so now we have a chat person.
Ah, okay.
Wait, what's happening? The chat
says they never get through.
I hate when the chat gets upset.
Well, let me tell you, your boy Scraby is you know, he's something else when it comes to this board and who he lets on, who he doesn't.
You got to be on his good graces.
You guys aren't the ones who get the DMs telling me that I'm fixing the game because I don't want to take their phone call.
Telling you this? The Denver Nuggets radio announcer?
Maybe it was him. Anyway. All right, Brandon's
all right,
ready.
All right, Brandon, here we go. First question. The NL team, what NL team has the best batting average in baseball?
How about the Dodgers?
The Doyers.
Uh-oh.
That is incorrect. Mr. Ello, chance to
who
steal.
Is this now?
Best
sorry?
NL team, best batting average in the National League as a team.
As a team.
I'm just confirming right now. Chris, you can dilly-dally
for
a
second. No, you can't confirm now because, well, yeah, you actually have to confirm now.
I'm going to.
It's a problem with you write these questions.
Brandon is correct. My bad. Yes. I wrote this 2 days ago. I just realized it.
2 days ago, the Braves were ahead.
Yes.
Now the Dodgers are.
So Brandon gets it right.
Brandon, you were correct, man. Here we go.
Nice job, Brandon.
All right.
He says, all right.
You're unbelievable, by
that
the way.
That was bad. I will admit, that was unbelievable. That was bad.
Anytime Scraby has to look something up without us having to question it, you know
that was bad. And Brandon got it right, so we move on.
That was bad.
Who holds the record for most career home runs for the Boston Red Sox?
The Boston Red Sox.
Is it Ted Williams?
Oh, wow.
That's with Ted.
Nice. I thought we were going to get a big poppy.
Teddy Ballgame.
Manny Ramirez.
No, Teddy Ballgame way up there.
All right.
And if Teddy Ballgame
didn't... Poppy was there long enough.
No, Ted missed 3 years or so because of the war as well. Yeah. If it wasn't for that, he'd be up in the 600s, Ted Williams, in home runs. Yeah.
All right. You're on to question number three, Brandon. Nice job.
Padres shortstop Ha-Sung Kim and right fielder Fernando Tatis Jr. collected their 2023 Gold Gloves this past Saturday. Who was the last Padre to win the Gold Glove Award in consecutive seasons?
How about Greg Maddux?
Ooh.
Greg Maddux.
Interesting.
Stay there, though, Brandon.
Yeah, this is pretty tough. Gold gloves in consecutive seasons?
Consecutive.
And I know this answer is right because it came from...
Just stop talking.
Okay. Oh, you know what? He's the best hitter on the Yankees. Trent Grisham, just recently.
Trent Grisham.
That's my guess, anyway.
Back to back.
Oh!
Wow!
He did not go back to back.
Wow.
He took a year off.
Wow.
The answer... is Mr. Adrian Gonzalez.
Good for you, Brandon.
Yeah, stay right there, Brandon.
Brandon is our winner. Stay on the line. Scraby will get your info and get you locked in to possibly head to Vegas. I caught the second year of that Gold Glove when I got traded here in 09. Adrian was legit defender at first base. Really good. Could pick it. Could have some range. Just, you know, he reminds you a little bit of Rafael Palmeiro.
You know what we were talking about on the, speaking of range at first base, and we're going to have Jake Cronenworth, by the way. Scraby brought this up earlier, but we're going to have Jake on as our prior Friday guest tomorrow. But I wanted to ask you, because I'm going to ask him tomorrow. He plays off of the first base bag further than any first baseman I have ever seen, Tony. And I don't know that this is... I believe Jesse's talked about this quite often, so I'm assuming you've been in on this discussion. Is this, you know, he's using his athleticism. Why does he play so far off? He steals a bunch of hits in the hole.
That's exactly
I mean, the line is wide open, but it doesn't seem to ever, you know, cost him in that regard. I think it's amazing, and I'm, you know, because you see a ball off the bat, you know, from the center field camera on TV, the other team hits it, and you go, oh, no, that's a hit. And then Jake's right there.
That's technology. That's better ways to scout. And they know they're willing to give the lineup because no one hits it down the line very often.
Yeah.
At least in the teams that you're seeing, right? Though he's playing there because the spray chart says that particular guy, you're better off here than you are anywhere else.
Right.
And, you know, when you think about it, a lot of times Padres are like right in the right spot. They don't have to move very far, or they're in a spot where they can step in a dive and make a play. And it's because they do a really good job with defensive alignment beforehand.
But
and
isn't that, Jake even more pronounced, Tony? Or no,
I just that's how all the first basemen are now. Like, okay. Unless you're holding somebody on first base, and then you kind of have to get off that way, that's probably as close to like the normal first base that you're used to seeing guys play. If there's nobody on, a lot of times you'll see the first baseman like almost in the second baseman hole.
I know.
In a lot of occasions. So,
and the amazing thing
it's not just Jake.
The only thing the thing that people don't realize or notice, and having played first base quite a bit, not at Jake's level, but still the same position, he's so far off that on a ground ball to shortstop, or you know, even a hot shot to third base, he's not able to even run to the bag and be there to take the throw fast enough, right? I mean, he has to sprint to get there, to get the throw from Manny, or sometimes from second base as well. Yeah. And that takes a lot of athleticism and coordination to sprint over there, find the bag, get your foot on the bag, and then find the throw and make the play there.
That honestly is kind of the norm now. Like, you have to be able to do that to play first base now, because that's how all the teams are playing. And I think now, you know, it took a little bit of time for infielders to get used to it, but they're much better now when there's a hard shot. It's not any of those bases, actually, that you just mentioned, too. It's the play to second base. Because a lot of times, because the first baseman is so far over, there's a split second they think they can get to it. So there's usually like kind of a hesitation towards it.
Yeah.
And then they got to work back. And you've noticed over time, I'd say like the last 7-8 years, infielders are good at like timing it up. They'll take it, they'll kind of pat it again, and it's within rhythm. Whereas when you first started seeing the shifts, like back before there was a shift rule and things of that nature, there'd be a lot of errors because that timing was messed up and guys weren't used to it. I think by now, so many first basemen have to play that way or are playing that way. I think infielders have gotten used to it, and I think first basemen have gotten used to it.
I think Jake just really, he may not line up further off than anybody, but I think he's covering as much, if not more, ground than any first baseman.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that his range isn't
into the hole. He gets over there.
That doesn't mean his range isn't exceptional. I mean, he is a former shortstop playing first base. So
that is what the chat said. He's so he can range so well because he's a shortstop.
I'm impressed by it. The other thing I'm always impressed by, but I don't like to let it pass by without a comment, is the leadoff play by Manny Machado in the top of the ninth yesterday. You know, I know Suarez had a clean inning, but who knows? If he doesn't come in, barehand that ball, and make it look easy and throw Jonathan India out, you know, the Reds get the lead man on. Maybe they get something started in the ninth inning. But as you said correctly on the TV broadcast, you just can't hit it there. Because, man, he's just too good. He's too good. That play was not easy, Tony.
He made it look easy, though.
He sure did.
He just snatched it with his big paw and just kind of like flung it over there.
He's the best.
It's light work for that man over there.
But let's be fair, you know, the official word on Manny Machado, zero gold gloves at third base. So just want to remind everybody that Nolan Arenado has them all.
Thanks for stirring that little anger machine.
Yes, I know.
That is kind of wild when you say it like that. Like when you say zero gold gloves.
He doesn't have any. Yeah, he does have a couple of shortstops.
I was going to say.
Not at third base. And he's unbelievable.
All right. Is it me?
Yeah.
Are you?
Is it you?
Me? All right. Let's get to break. I believe we have one segment in between what is going to be. We're all hopeful a good big five. Scrape, you look like you want to say something. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh no, I was going to say we're going to talk about that Bally's thing here next. But yes, we do have some good topics in the big five.
Bally's, Roku. All of it.
Roku.
When we return.
Roku.
Oh, this just sounds like streaming stuff.
Is it Roku?
I think it's Roku.
Is it Roku? Sorry.
No,
sorry,
it's okay.
Roku.
But whatever it is, it's streaming, and that gets me getting a little nervous over here.
It's all nerves when we return. Here's some traffic.
Enjoy listening to Sammy Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam covers everything going on with the Padres. Find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, coming up at 5 o'clock, you're a little more than a half hour away from this week's 97.3 The Fan Roundtable, Padres Roundtable. It's commercial-free radio from 5 to 6 p.m. tonight, and you'll hear from myself, along with Ben and Woods and Annie and Elston, all of us breaking down in great detail the goods and the bads of the Padres, who are now 34 games into this season. That seemed to have come upon us rather quickly, you know, for it being early. 34 games is still 34 games.
Once you get the season here, it moves by relatively quick.
Moves
as a
along.
Guy who sits in this chair, I don't know about Tony, but when you're waiting for the season, though, it can take forever.
Well, it's here now, and even though there's a day off today, the Padres are right back in action tomorrow. Quick update before this story is pretty interesting, though, that you're going to delve into here, Tony. Bad news for a lot of fans of a lot of baseball teams out there. But real quick, Indiana leads Milwaukee 47-38. 5 minutes left, second quarter. Pacers win. They eliminate the Bucks.
No! Yeah. Can you play that one? Can you play that one?
Oh, the crying
one. I can do it live
okay.
for you.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
Or this one. Name and logo. That one, too.
A lot of people are going to be reacting that way if the Bucks go home tonight, I'm sorry to say. All right, Tony, the baseball, this is, like I said, bad news for a lot of teams, and it could have been bad news for Padre fans.
A major development in MLB's media future likely hinges on Diamond Sports Group's fate in bankruptcy court. In February, Commissioner Rob Manfred said he hoped to launch a national in-market streaming package in 2025 with about half of the league's teams. Bringing that to fruition would be a huge deal, not because it would make a lot of money at the onset or any money. Streaming is often a losing business. I say that to say Bally right now, basically the last half of those teams, it sounds like, are going to lose coverage right
yes,
now.
Yes, they are. All of their stations went dark.
Yeah, they didn't make their payment. They didn't make their payment at the beginning of the month.
Yep.
And so all of their coverage will go dark. This is going to be interesting. This isn't one or two or three teams like it's been.
No.
It's the other half that are covered in Bally.
Yeah.
And so
I can read you the teams right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
These are fans that will not be able to watch their baseball teams play on television for the foreseeable future. Minnesota Twins, Cardinals. I don't think that's going to go over too well in St. Louis, where they kind of like that team. Atlanta Braves, another big-time team. Detroit Tigers, Miami Marlins, Cleveland Guardians, Kansas City Royals, Cincinnati Reds, L.A. Angels, Texas Rangers, Tampa Bay Rays, Milwaukee Brewers. None of those games are going to be on television until they're able to work something out or figure something out with Diamond Sports Group and get them through this bankruptcy. And I said the Padres could have been affected, but something was worked out through MLB, right, before started, so MLB took over.
Yeah, no, we already went through this last year.
Okay.
We were already out of the Bally business.
We were out of the Bally business. Luckily, as it turns out.
Yeah, MLB took us over. Now, the question I have is, MLB says they want to have the streaming in 2025 for half of the teams. This is going to be a little bit more than half at this point if they have to take on all of that. Do they have the bandwidth to do that, like, on the fly? This is going to be complicated for those teams for the rest of this season.
Yeah, it is.
And that leads me to, I don't know that this covers all of it, but the Roku story with MLB. Straby, would you?
Oh, he's talking to me.
I was telling Chris that he has a spot coming up in the break.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Behind the scenes.
Roku and MLB look like they're closing in on a package for Sunday games. Remember, Peacock had those games for a while. They were still interested in doing it, but for like a third of the price that they were paying.
Yeah.
So there has been no paperwork signed, but Roku and MLB are closing in. And my question is, who has Roku? Does any is that like a, is that a big one?
Roku is a big one, but it's not. If it's only on Roku, that's going to be a problem because you have that, to. I believe. I don't know if it's changed, but you have to buy the device itself.
Yeah, that's. Listen, it's one thing to download an app and go ahead and have to do it that way.
But now you're buying devices.
I'm not going to get in the car and go buy a device. I'm not. I won't be watching Sunday games.
I'll tell you one thing.
I'll probably be working anyway.
Any sporting event on Peacock, any sporting event on Peacock from here until the rest of time, I will not be watching. Because I almost said a bad word.
Oh, my gosh.
Those people at Peacock who I'm not pleased with. All right.
Okay.
No, because you guys know I bought the Dolphin Chiefs game like every other, had to person, you know.
Oh, did. Yes. I think Tony missed this part.
I don't know
everything.
That you were here that day, Tony. We come to find out that they've been charging us for Peacock for the last 5 months, even after I went ahead and canceled.
What?
Yeah.
They got you like that?
Yeah.
And actually, yeah.
They
yeah.
make it, by the way, they make it dang near impossible to find
yes,
the
they
cancellation
do.
Part
Yes,
of
they
that
do.
Joint.
They don't make it easy to cancel, but I did find my way to cancel. They said, oh, no, you didn't cancel. And now here we are. 5 minutes later, Lori looks at our bill and says, we're still paying for Peacock. And I mean, I was furious about this because I can't be the only one that this has happened to
after that game.
You're still having Peacock and you don't want it anymore. So Peacock, I'm out of the Peacock business.
Let me, can you say that one more time?
No, I cannot.
Dang it,
all right. You got it on record. You can use that all day long.
I am looking at the Roku thing, and it's kind of like the Amazon Fire Stick a little bit. You can buy a device, but you can also buy one of those HDMI sticks that you put in the back of your TV.
I know, but how many things are you going to have to buy?
Right?
Well, that's the thing. And you know what? Someone brings up a great point, and I don't think you have to buy the device for this, but Apple TV and their games. Because I know Apple TV has a device as well, like a Roku. Not sure if you can watch this online.
Because I got Apple TV. I basically get everything through my Apple TV. But I don't want to have to go buy another Apple TV-like device. Like, I already have
one. Don't blame you.
That I can literally get all of the other streaming services from. So, it is what it is. I guess MLB is boxing us out. Those who don't have Roku.
Well, they can box. But you know what? I think baseball is going to find out a little differently than football. In football, we all went in and bought the thing so we could watch the playoff game. I don't know everybody's going to go in and buy to watch a Sunday baseball game. There's already 50 games on a week.
Well,
as
Peacock
it is.
Said that they don't want to renew for the price that they are asking because probably it's not making sense for them. But Katrina says Roku has an app as well for the Roku channel. Anyway.
Okay, so if I can get it through the app, then all good. And I won't have as many. I still won't get it, but I won't have as much, fodder to talk about.
Do you guys have any idea how confusing and convoluting this is to the Chris Ello brain? What am I having problems with? I got to have Roku. I got to have a stick. I got to have a device. I got to have a streaming service. I got to have a. Come on.
Someone's saying Roku TVs are very cheap TVs that most people have in their homes by now. I don't know anyone with a Roku TV.
Also, wait.
It's
a TV?
What I have in my household is a Roku little box that connects to the TV. I guess you can, some of the smart TVs,
so
you can download the Roku app. But
okay,
I don't know if that's going to allow you to have access to MLB.
I almost want to go back to the days where I had to stand up and physically turn the channel on my TV dial.
Oh, no one wants to go back to that.
No, you don't.
And change back the antenna ears to get good reception.
Listen,
this whole thing with the streaming is driving me nuts.
I am old enough to have had grandparents that still had TVs like that.
I know.
And I don't know why in the world you'd want to go back to that.
It's just a simpler time.
This whole Bally's news doesn't affect us if we've already purchased the Padres streaming package. No, you're good.
No,
you're good.
This is just the teams that were still under the Bally umbrella. We got kicked out of the umbrella last year. We got out of the umbrella. I should say we got kicked out. They couldn't pay the money that they owed the Padres. So
Jed says the rabbit ears. Remember those, Chris?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. That's what
the
I
beef
meant.
Said. Just or I'm sorry, Rod said just add tinfoil to the antenna, Chris, and you'll get it.
If that works, then I would do it, but I don't think that would work.
And McKee also says we're all very aware of how Chris feels about streaming.
Yes, yeah, no, he's not a fan.
I gotta be speaking for some other people out there.
No,
I can't be the only person that gets, you know,
you definitely are
stressed out about
Chris Ello is the only person stressed out about this, and that's just in on the chat from a guy named.
No,
Spady?
He just made that up. He made, I was about to say he definitely made that up. Nobody said that.
All right, well, crazy, that's confusing and, all right, and great.
5 o'clock. The roundtable commercial free. Don't go anywhere. That's coming up. We'll talk Padres. But until then, it's Big Five on Gwynn and Chris next. It is 4:39. It is Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Phoenix, Arizona. Padres will play there tomorrow against the Diamondbacks. Matt Scraby alongside in the Odyssey Palace Studios. We have traffic. And then Scraby has for all of us today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Since the roundtable is coming up at 5, we'll go as far as we can in the Big Five. But first, I wanted to say Katrina updating us on the chat. She went to, or they were telling me that they were going to a Savannah Bananas game a couple weeks ago. And I told them to let me know how it was. And they said, side note, update for Scraby. If you ever get a chance to see Savannah Bananas Banana Ball, it is a million times worth it. We had the best experience last weekend. So
very good.
There you go.
Now, where did they go to see them? In Savannah? That's far away.
I guess.
I don't know. Savannah, don't they travel around away and play in other places?
Are they like the Harlem Globetrotters? I'm honestly asking.
They do travel, I believe.
Yeah. Are they a real team, Tony, or are they the Globetrotters?
What do you declare? What is a real team?
Like, are they a real minor league team that has standings,
no,
guys going up and down?
I don't think so. They're trying to create like a whole different baseball.
Yes, they are. There's also glow-in-the-dark baseball coming, too.
I would like to see Savannah Banana practice, where they're not actually taking ground balls, but they're practicing dance moves.
That would be pretty fun, I gotta say. All right, thank you, Katrina, for that update.
Number 5.
Katrina says Mesa. Mesa, Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah. All right. I know
that
you guys won't want to talk about this as early as we are going to talk about it.
But you're
going to
ask it anyway, aren't you?
But I told the Scravenators I would ask you anyway. We are loving Jurickson Profar right now, being the great player he has been so far this season. But the question posed last night was this. Tony, if Profar continues at this pace, what are they going to do about his contract next year?
Who cares?
I knew right that was going to be the answer.
Oh my gosh!
We're
I don't
already
care.
Thinking to next year.
No, we should. Let's. We already what 34 games into this season. We already worried about next year.
Yes,
my lord.
Trying to build next year's team.
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't care. Right now, ask me when
All-Star break.
No, because actually, if we are into like. Figure it out at the end of the year. That's what I'm saying. Let's enjoy him while we can. Because if he keeps it up at this rate, it's going to, you know, he's not going to break the bank or anything, but it's not going to be as cheap.
He's not going to get $1 million.
For sure. Yeah. I can tell you that. If Chris, he keeps this up.
Yes, yes. I knew this was going to be the answer, by the way. But Chris, if Profar continues this pace, what are they going to do about his contract?
Who cares? But I do want to say this. Stay tuned for the roundtable because there's a lot of discussion about Jurickson Profar on today's roundtable.
Okay.
But it's things that are important to discuss about Jurickson Profar.
I thought we were talking
about
this.
Not this.
Okay. All right. I knew that was going to be the answer, but I promised the Scravenators I would ask. And we got Tony Evil laughing over there.
Number 4.
Now, the NFL is rolling in money right now, and reportedly, I don't know if you saw this, Chris,
must
but...
Must be the money.
Must be the money. Baby, I got your money. Say hey.
No. That's a different song, man.
I know. I just mixed them all up. Reportedly, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross turned down a $10 billion offer to buy the team from him. For more than a decade, though, it's been obvious that voters are not going to support any proposal to give NFL owners taxpayer money for stadium construction or renovation. And in conjunction with that, local leaders aren't as willing to give away free money. Currently, the Bears, Chiefs, Bengals, and Browns are facing resistance in their local markets. I came up with this because the Browns are asking for money to renovate their stadium, even though the owner is worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. People are starting to get sick of it. Chris, why do you think public support has changed so much over the last 10 years with this topic?
Because we all now understand just how much money these greedy bastards have.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Am I supposed to dump that?
I don't know, but
it's too late now.
I think that answers it, though, doesn't it? I mean, I think we all kind of thought we knew how much money NFL's owners had, but now we know.
Yes.
So it does seem crazy for us to have to give them some of ours just so that they can make a ton more money. You know, the best idea I've heard all along is if the taxpayers pay 50%, to help you build a stadium, then the revenues made from that stadium, 50% of it ought to go to taxpayers who helped you. And that's not how it ever works. So,
yeah, I agree. Tony, what do you think about this? Why do you think public support has changed so much?
Because we got started having more access. We started knowing more. It became easier to add. You know what I'm saying? Because for a long time, the numbers were never available, or the numbers that connect to the numbers weren't available, so we couldn't really figure it out. But, you know, we've learned more. And because we've learned more, we realize, damn, y'all got quite a bit of money. You make a whole bunch of money off of this, you know, whether you win or lose, right? You can fix the game so that if you're losing, you're actually winning, right? And so why are we, you know, our taxes going up? We already pay a bunch of them anyway. Why we gotta add to it? And so I think that people are just like, they're dug in on that. And I think, you know, on the government side, I mean, that's politics. They realize the people are dug in on it. They don't want to be on the wrong side of that.
Exactly.
And so of course they're gonna say the same thing now, because they know they could lose their job over it if they go a different route. And so, you know, I think at this point the jig is up.
Like, the jig is up.
Like, you're gonna have to start at least paying the majority of it, or enough to where people in that particular city feel comfortable giving whatever little bit they got to give.
Yeah.
But you sure enough ain't finna get those days where you only have to pay half. You're gonna be probably forking over a lot more of it. And you know, I think ultimately it could end up being a better business deal for them. You got to spend a little money to make some money.
Exactly. And this kind of goes back to what happened with the Chargers here in town, because my opinion on this whole thing has changed. When the whole Chargers thing was going on, I thought, pay the taxes, let's get a stadium built. But over time, I mean, I don't really know that it would have been the right move.
I'll say this, that not all of them are in the same category, right? Like, sometimes you need an owner that actually is a real owner. Like, a lot of these owners who are asking for money have like boatloads of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Spanoses don't, but they're probably, my guess is they're not in like the top tier of owners and what they make.
No.
But to your point though, all of that looks a lot different now than it did at that time.
It does. Well, good for people.
Number three.
The Chiefs guy's like, I win you three Super Bowls, you can't just pass a tax? No. I think you're like the ketchup guy. Isn't that what the Hunts
like
do, Chris?
It's like you got not only do you got
the
this
Hunts?
Team,
yeah,
you got
Hunts.
Ketchup.
They're a ketchup company?
Isn't Hunts the ketchup company?
Hunts? I thought it was Heinz.
Yes.
There's both.
It is. Hunts and Heinz and Hunts.
I don't
Hunts
know if the, you know, the Kansas City Hunts, I gotta slow down on that one, are the ketchup guys. But they have money, trust me.
Oh, they have
money. My grandmother used to buy Hunts ketchup. So I know that exists for sure.
Right.
So not only do you got this team, you got a whole ketchup thing.
I didn't know that was Lamar Hunt's business.
I don't know, but
he's from Dallas. I think he's an oil guy.
Maybe. Maybe he also owns ketchup.
Oh, he was
too.
An oil guy.
Dallas is the ketchup
capital of the
world.
You know, the internet, you know, I got my internet open. I'll look.
All right, we can find out. The next one, yeah.
Number three.
Tony might want to listen up on this one, though, because the other day we got the news that Mike Trout's going to be sidelined with the surgery needed to repair a torn meniscus in his knee, and now opinions have been flying around, and Stephen A. Smith had a rather strong opinion with Mad Dog Russo, I think it was yesterday. Here he is.
Yeah. Well, it's driving me crazy, and let me tell you this. Mike Trout is a sensational player when he's healthy. One of the greats. He really, really is. And I'm a huge, huge fan. But I've grown disgusted with his lack of availability. It makes me question. I know he looks the part. What the hell are you doing to take care of yourself? Always injured. I mean, damn. It's baseball. I mean, what are you talking about here? It's not football. It's not boxing. It's not the UFC. You're not running up and down the court 94 feet basketball for 82 nights a year. It's baseball. Half the time, y'all out standing out in the outfield, you know, chewing on pumpkin seeds or something.
Okay, so he goes on for another, like, minute and a half about this whole thing. Uh-huh. And he's not a fan of Mike Trout being injured. So this morning, I saw this, and I commented, agree with Stephen A. 100%. Can't believe I ever agreed with him. And then someone told me that Bennett Woods talked about this story and said, don't do this. So apparently, I'm in the wrong on this one. And let's see. Tony is up first. What do you think of Stephen A's take here, Tony?
I like Stephen A, but I think this take is stupid, like really stupid, like ignorant stupid. And to make the assumption that because he plays baseball and that's how I know he doesn't watch a lot of it, right? Like he just appears just to stand in the outfield all game long, like there's no running. And, oh, by the way, no, it's not getting up and down the hardwood at 94 feet for 82 games. It's actually, you know, checking in 162 of them bad boys and however 180, whatever the amount of off days are there in there. So, you know, it's a game of attrition in terms of a mental and physical durability. So, he just sounds like a guy who specializes in a different sport.
It'd be kind of like
me hopping in on hockey and having like some wild take about whatever said thing, knowing I don't watch it enough to even be able to comment on it. You know, part of me just listening to it there, part of me knows that he was playing up that shtick a little bit. He could hear it in his voice, like he wasn't like dead serious about it. But I just would have liked to hear him say something a little bit more educated.
As someone commented immediately saying, doesn't he cover a sport where guys load manage all the time? Which is kind of funny.
And to be fair, he's definitely on Kawhi all the time.
All right, well, he's being consistent, I guess. So
it's consistent, but it was his reasoning. Like, oh, because they're not doing 94 feet of basketball, there's no way that he could, you know, be hurt or anything like that. You know, that's the part that irritated me.
Chris?
It was clickbait.
I fell for it.
Hook, line, and sinker. That's what it was. I don't think even Stephen A. Smith believes himself on this one.
Yeah.
Because he's being critical of one of the best players the game has seen in the last 25 years. The one thing I'll say, Trout does seem, once he's injured, he doesn't seem to always come back very quickly. But that just, he might be a slow healer. I don't know what he's, you know, supposed to do about that.
Well, you know, this is a meniscus, so it ain't going to be a quick
situation.
Yeah,
it's going to be 2 or 3 months. You know, he's had a broken, what's a hamate?
Tony broke his hamate.
I broke my hamate.
Yeah.
It's in your hand.
Right. Yeah.
Tommy Pham did it, too.
It's right here.
It's like the palm, like the inside of your palm. Yeah.
If you can't hold a bat, it's pretty hard to swing it and get it done. I don't know. I would love to see Trout playing too, jealously, but Stephen A., I don't think he even believes what he said today. And I think that's why he started to kind of even have some fun with it at the end, because he realized he probably was coming off too harsh.
I think you're right. It's just to point out the fact that when he's healthy, as Chris said, he's one of the best players. He was doing that in the time that he was on the field this year with the Angels.
We're not going to have time for the rest, so I will just keep going with this. Apparently, I'm way off base on this one. Way off base. No, Ed McKee said my 12-year-old son just rolled his eyes at the audio of Stephen A. The reason I feel this way is because everybody considers Mike Trout the best player of the last, like, 15 years, but he doesn't stay healthy. And what Stephen A. said in the beginning is where I agree with. His availability is not there, ever, it seems.
Fine, like. That's fine. But the reasoning for that, in terms of what Stephen A. was saying, was just it was stupid.
I'm not going to go as far as to say he doesn't do anything, because obviously baseball players do stuff, and they do it every single day.
I think ultimately the fact that he's missed so much time, though, is going to affect his standing in the history books.
Matt Snyder just wrote about that, saying that he's working his way out of the greats, because he's not going to have the opportunity to reach them in the numbers department.
Well, it's fair enough. I mean, if he was playing more, he'd have bigger numbers. The Hunts made their money in oil. It was Lamar Hunt's father, who was a oil fortune guy.
I'd rather them be ketchup owners.
I think you would, but they wouldn't be accurate.
Hey, I didn't say I knew or not. I
Pacers,
just thought.
59, Bucks, 47 at half.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Since the roundtable's coming up at 5, we'll go as far as we can in the Big Five. But first, I wanted to say Katrina updating us on the chat. She went to, or they were telling me that they were going to a Savannah Bananas game a couple weeks ago. And I told them to let me know how it was. And they said, side note, update for Scraby. If you ever get a chance to see Savannah Bananas Banana Ball, it is a million times worth it. We had the best experience last weekend. So
very good.
There you go.
Now, where did they go to see them? In Savannah? That's far away.
I guess.
I don't know. Savannah, don't they travel around and play in other places?
Are they like the Harlem Globetrotters? I'm honestly
asking. They do travel, I believe.
Yeah. Are they a real team, Tony? Or are they the Globetrotters?
What do you declare? What is a real team?
Like, are they a real minor league team that has standings,
no,
guys going up and down?
I don't think so. They're trying to create like a whole different baseball.
Yes, they are. There's also glow-in-the-dark baseball coming, too.
I would like to see Savannah Banana practice, where they're not actually taking ground balls, but they're practicing dance moves.
That would be pretty fun, I gotta say. All right, thank you, Katrina, for that update.
Number 5.
Katrina says Mesa. Mesa, Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah. All right. I know
that
you guys won't want to talk about this as early as we are going to talk about it.
But you're
going to
ask it anyway, aren't you?
But I told the Scravenators I would ask you anyway. We are loving Jurickson Profar right now, being the great player he has been so far this season. But the question posed last night was this. Tony, if Profar continues at this pace, what are they going to do about his contract next year?
Who cares?
I knew
right
that was going to be the answer.
Oh my gosh!
We're
I don't
already
care.
Thinking to next year.
No, we should. Let's. We already with 34 games into this season. We already worried about next year.
Yes,
my lord.
Trying to build next year's team.
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't care. Right now, ask me when
All-Star break.
No, because actually, if we are into like. Figure it out at the end of the year. That's what I'm saying. Let's enjoy him while we can. Because if he keeps it up at this rate, it's going to, you know, he's not going to break the bank or anything, but it's not going to be as cheap.
He's not going to get $1 million.
For sure. Yeah. I can tell you that. If Chris, he keeps this up.
Yes, yes. I knew this was going to be the answer, by the way. But Chris, if Profar continues his pace, what are they going to do about his contract?
Who cares? But I do want to say this. Stay tuned for the roundtable, because there's a lot of discussion about Jurickson Profar on today's roundtable.
Okay.
But it's things that are important to discuss about Jurickson Profar.
Oh, I thought we were talking about
not this.
Okay, all right. I knew that was going to be the answer, but I promised the Scravenators I would ask. And we got Tony Evil laughing over there.
Number 4.
Now, the NFL is rolling in money right now, and reportedly, I don't know if you saw this, Chris. Must be the money. Baby, I got your money. Say hey.
No. That's a different song, man.
I know. I just mixed them all up. Reportedly, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross turned down a $10 billion offer to buy the team from him. For more than a decade, though, it's been obvious that voters are not going to support any proposal to give NFL owners taxpayer money for stadium construction or renovation. And in conjunction with that, local leaders aren't as willing to give away free money. Currently, the Bears, Chiefs, Bengals, and Browns are facing resistance in their local markets. I came up with this because the Browns are asking for money to renovate their stadium, even though the owner is worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. People are starting to get sick of it. Chris, why do you think public support has changed so much over the last 10 years with this topic?
Because we all now understand just how much money these greedy bastards have.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Am I supposed to dump that?
I don't know, but
it's too late now.
I think that answers it, though, doesn't it? I mean, I think we all kind of thought we knew how much money NFL's owners had, but now we know.
Yes.
So it does seem crazy for us to have to give them some of ours just so that they can make a ton more money. You know, the best idea I've heard all along is if the taxpayers pay 50% to help you build a stadium, then the revenues made from that stadium, 50% of it ought to go to taxpayers who helped you. And that's not how it ever works. So,
yeah, I agree. Tony, what do you think about this? Why do you think public support has changed so much?
Because we started having more access. We started knowing more. It became easier to add. You know what I'm saying? Because for a long time, the numbers were never available, or the numbers that connect to the numbers weren't available, so we couldn't really figure it out. But, you know, we've learned more. And because we've learned more, we realize, damn, y'all got quite a bit of money. You make a whole bunch of money off of this. You know, whether you win or lose, right? You can fix the game so that if you're losing, you're actually winning, right? And so why are we, you know, our taxes going up? We already pay a bunch of them anyway. Why we gotta add to it? And so I think that people are just like, they're dug in on that. And I think, you know, on the government side, I mean, that's politics. They realize the people are dug in on it. They don't want to be on the wrong side
exactly.
of that. And so of course they're gonna say the same thing now. Because they know they can lose their job over it if they go a different route. And so, you know, I think at this point the jig is up. You're gonna have to start at least paying the majority of it, or enough to where people in that particular city feel comfortable giving whatever little bit they got to give.
Yeah.
But you sure enough ain't finna get those days where you only have to pay half. You're gonna be probably forking over a lot more of it. And you know, I think ultimately it could end up being a better business deal for them. I mean, you got to spend a little money to make some money.
Exactly. And this kind of goes back to what happened with the Chargers here in town, because my opinion on this whole thing has changed. When the whole Chargers thing was going on, I thought, pay the taxes, let's get a stadium built. But over time, I mean, I don't really know that it would have been the right move.
I'll say this, that not all of them are in the same category, right? Like, sometimes you need an owner that actually is a real owner. Like, a lot of these owners who are asking for money have like boatloads of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the Spanoses don't, but they're probably, my guess is they're not in like the top tier of owners and what they make.
No.
But to your point though, it all of that looks a lot different now than it did at that time.
It does. Well, good for people.
Number three.
The Chiefs guy's like, I win you three Super Bowls, you can't just pass a tax? No. I think you're like the ketchup guy. Isn't that what the Hunts
like
do, Chris?
It's like you got not only do you got
the Hunts?
This team,
yeah,
you
the
got
Hunts.
Ketchup.
Is there a ketchup company?
Isn't Hunts a ketchup company?
Hunts? I thought it was Heinz.
Yes.
No, there's both.
It is.
Hunts and
Heinz and Hunts.
I don't
Hunts
know if the Kansas City Hunts, I gotta slow down on that one, are the ketchup guys. But they have money, trust me.
Oh, they have money.
My grandmother used to buy Hunts ketchup. So I know that exists for sure.
Right.
So not only do you got this team, you got a whole ketchup thing.
I didn't know that was Lamar Hunt's business.
I don't know, but
he's from Dallas. I think he's an oil guy.
Maybe he also owns ketchup.
Oh, he was
too.
An oil guy.
Dallas is the ketchup
anymore.
Capital
of the
world.
The internet, I got my internet open. I'll look.
All right,
right?
I'll go to the next one. Yeah.
Number three.
Tony might want to listen up on this one, though, because the other day we got the news that Mike Trout's going to be sidelined with the surgery needed to repair a torn meniscus in his knee, and now opinions have been flying around, and Stephen A. Smith had a rather strong opinion with Mad Dog Russo, I think it was yesterday. Here he is.
Yeah. Well, it's driving me crazy, and let me tell you this. Mike Trout is a sensational player when he's healthy. One of the great. He really, really is. And I'm a huge, huge fan. But I've grown disgusted with his lack of availability. It makes me question. I know he looks the part. What the hell are you doing to take care of yourself? Always injured. I mean, damn, it's baseball. I mean, what are you talking about here? It's not football. It's not boxing. It's not the UFC. You're not running up and down the court 94 feet basketball for 82 nights a year. It's baseball. Half the time, y'all out standing out in the outfield, you know, chewing on pumpkin seeds or something.
Okay, so he goes on for another, like, minute and a half about this whole thing. And he's not a fan of Mike Trout being injured. So this morning, I saw this, and I commented, agree with Stephen A. 100%. Can't believe I ever agreed with him. And then someone told me that Bennett Woods talked about this story and said, don't do this. So apparently, I'm in the wrong on this one. And let's see. Tony is up first. What do you think of Stephen A.'s take here, Tony?
I like Stephen A., but I think this take is stupid. Like, really stupid. Like, ignorant stupid. And to make the assumption that because he plays baseball and that's how I know he doesn't watch a lot of it, right? Like, he just appears just to stand in the outfield all game long. Like, there's no running. And, oh, by the way, no, it's not getting up and down the hardwood at 94 feet for 82 games. It's actually, you know, checking in 162 of them bad boys and however 180, whatever the amount of off days are there in there. So, you know, it's a game of attrition in terms of a mental and physical durability. So, he just sounds like a guy who specializes in a different sport.
It'd be kind of like
me hopping in on hockey and having like some wild take about whatever said thing, knowing I don't watch it enough to even be able to comment on it. You know, part of me just listening to it there, part of me knows that he was playing up that shtick a little bit. He could hear it in his voice, like he wasn't like dead serious about it. But it just, I just would have liked to hear him say something a little bit more educated.
As someone commented immediately saying, doesn't he cover a sport where guys load manage all the time? Which is kind of funny.
And to be fair, he's definitely on Kawhi all the time.
All right, well, he's being consistent, I guess.
So it's consistent, but it was his reasoning. Like, oh, because they're not doing 94 feet of basketball, there's no way that he could, you know, be hurt or anything like that. You know, that's the part that irritated me.
Chris?
It was clickbait.
I fell for it. Hook,
yeah,
line,
but
sinker.
That's what it was. I don't think even Stephen A. Smith believes himself on this one.
Yeah.
Because he's being critical of one of the best players the game has seen in the last 25 years. The one thing I'll say, Trout does seem, once he's injured, he doesn't seem to always come back very quickly. But that just, he might be a slow healer. I don't know what he's, you know, supposed to do about that.
Well, you know, this is a meniscus, so it ain't going to be a quick
situation.
Yeah,
it's going to be 2 or 3 months. You know, he's had a broken, what's a hamate?
Tony broke his hamate.
I broke my hamate.
Yeah.
It's in your hand.
Sure. Yeah.
Tommy Pham did it,
it's
too.
It's right here.
It's like the palm, like the inside of your palm. Yeah.
If you can't hold a bat, it's pretty hard to swing it and get it done. I don't know. I would love to see Trout playing too, jealously, but Stephen A., I don't think he even believes what he said today. And I think that's why he started to kind of even have some fun with it at the end, because he realized he probably was coming off too harsh.
I think you're right. It's just to point out the fact that when he's healthy, he's, as Chris said, he's one of the best players. He was doing that in the time that he was on the field this year with the Angels.
We're not going to have time for the rest, so I will just keep going with this. Apparently, I'm way off base on this one. Way off base. No, Ed McKee said my 12-year-old son just rolled his eyes at the audio of Stephen A. The reason I feel this way is because everybody considers Mike Trout the best player of the last, like, 15 years, but he doesn't stay healthy. And what Stephen A. said in the beginning is where I agree with. His availability is not there, ever, it seems.
Fine, that's fine. But the reasoning for that, in terms of what Stephen A. was saying, was just, it was stupid.
I'm not going to go as far as to say he doesn't do anything, because obviously baseball players do stuff, and they do it every single day.
I think ultimately the fact that he's missed so much time, though, is going to affect his standing in the history books.
Matt Snyder just wrote about that, saying that he's working his way out of the greats, because he's not going to have the opportunity to reach them in the numbers department.
Well, it's fair enough. I mean, if he was playing more, he'd have bigger numbers. The Hunts made their money in oil. It was Lamar Hunt's father who was an oil fortune guy.
I'd rather them be ketchup owners.
I think you would, but they wouldn't be accurate.
Hey, I didn't say I knew or not. I
Pacers 59, Bucks 47 at halftime, and that's an elimination game for the Bucks. See everybody tomorrow, too?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Tony, enjoy your evening there in Phoenix. Watch out for the bees.
Yes.
Scraby, coming back with the... Scraby Chronicles at 6 o'clock, but next it's the commercial-free baseball roundtable talking Padres on 97.3 The Fan.